We come to the conclusion today of our 99 names. For today we will look at the 99th attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is As-Sabur. In accordance with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Takhalluqu bi akhlaqillah," adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout this series, we've looked at ayah 110 of Surah Bani Israel, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul id'u Allaha awid'u Rahman, ayyaman tad'u, falahul asma'ul husna." Say, O Muhammad, call upon Allah or call upon the Rahman, whichever you call upon. He has the best of names. The 99th attribute is As-Sabur, the patient one. As-Sabur is an attribute of Allah linguistically derived from the name Sabr, which means withholding oneself from expressing its overwhelming grief. As-Sabur is most patient. His patience is greater than anyone else. He does not inflict his penalty immediately on those who disobey him. Rather, he forgives. He postpones his carrying out of such a penalty. He does not rush to do anything too early. Rather, he manages affairs according to a measure. As-Sabur conducts them according to a well-defined plan. He does not delay them from reaching their destined courses out of any sort of laziness, nor does he advance their execution. Rather, he does exactly at its right time, in the best way, as it ought to be. So when we think of Allah as As-Sabur, He gives to you and is true to you even when you do not fulfill His haq, basically. He comes to each one of us forgiving, even when we shun Him and we revolt against Him. He does not rush to you and me to penalize us when we disobey Him. He doesn't do anything except when it's most right, because of His wisdom, His honor, and His sublimity. It is As-Sabur who commands and respites those to whom He issues His commands. He observes, He waits, He doesn't do anything prematurely. He cancels the penalty, even if it becomes due. The attribute As-Sabur is very close to that of Al-Halim. The difference between the first and the latter is that with As-Sabur, nobody can feel safe with his penalty, as is the case with Al-Halim. In Surah Ali Imran, that is Surah number 3, in Ayah 200, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, Usbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu, have sabr, excel in sabr, and remain steadfast. Wattaqullah, be God conscious, la'allakum tuflihun, so that you may be successful. And we'll talk about the sabr in relationship to us. But first, just let's continue with As-Sabur, where the Prophet ﷺ said, none is more patient regarding the pain of what he hears than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ascribe sons to him even as he grants them good health and sustenance. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam has said, As-sabr min al-iman bi manzilat al-ra'asi min al-jasad. Fa'idha dhahaba al-ra'asu dhahaba al-jasad. وَكَذَٰلِكَ إِذَا ذَحَبَ الصَّبْرِ ذَحَبَ الْإِيمَانِ. Indeed, sabr is to iman what the head is to the body. The body perishes without the head. So in the same way, when sabr goes, iman also disappears. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said that sabr is of three kinds. Sabr at the time of hardship, sabr in regards to obedience, and sabr in regards to disobedience. And sabr in regard to disobedience is superior to all the other levels of sabr. Let's look at all three. Sabr in regard to hardship means to stop oneself from complaining about hidden suffering. See, in essence, sabr means to be able to try your best. Accumulate all the resources that you have in your possession. Absolutely every single means you have. Use it to the best of your ability. And then have patience without complaining. A man called Sama'a ibn Mirhan was asked by Imam Ali Ridha alayhi salam what had stopped him from going to Hajj. Sama'a replied that he had fallen into debt and had lost his wealth. Imam said, "If you have sabr, you will be the object of envy. And if you do not, Allah will enforce His qadr regardless of your pleasure or displeasure." Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam has said that when mu'mineen have sabr when a hardship befalls them, they have the reward of 1,000 shuhada. For one of the most beautiful hadith, if it's from Imam Ali Zainul Abidin alayhi salam regarding complaining. He said, "Why do you complain about the merciful to the merciless? Use this in life. And when you think about it, it's so beautiful, it makes so much sense. If you're afflicted with a hardship, why should you go and complain to those who have no mercy about the one who has so much rahmah and who has a reason, a good reason for everything, whose end is always khair and who tells you, إِنَّمَا الْأَصْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْأَصْرِ يُسْرًا. After every difficulty, there are two eases. Now the second sort of sabr I said was in regard to obedience. Sabr in regard to obedience means to perform the wajibat correctly, to inwardly have khulus, which is sincerity and presence of mind. This sabr is helped by remembering Allah's promised reward for obedience, both immediate and to come. And the highest reward is qurba to Him, closeness to Him. Sabr in regard to disobedience is realized outwardly by avoiding sins, keeping away from the places where they might be committed, keeping away from the people who might incite us into committing these sins. Inwardly, it's by preventing the nafs from inclining towards them, for the very beginning of a sin is a mere thought. This sabr is helped by remembering Allah's threat of punishment in this world and the next for disobedience. It's also helped by having certainty or yaqeen. See, anyone who puts his hand in the fire knowingly only does so because they wish to burn themselves. It does not as a rule happen. Why do we avoid fire? It's because our knowledge tells us it's dangerous and we're sure of this knowledge. In the same way, when we strive to perfect our nafs, we must have yaqeen in the burning power of sins and therefore avoid them. It's said that sabr is the commander of the mu'min's defense against sins. Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq alayhi salam has said, when a mu'min enters his or her grave, salah will appear on their right side, zakah on the left, righteousness faces them, and sabr is their shelter. When the two angels charged with questioning them enter, sabr says to salah, zakah in righteousness, take care of your companion, and if you fail to assist him or her, I will take care of him or her myself. So once you've tried your best and things are still not as easy as they should be, then sabr is hidden anguish. Remember in the Quran in Surah Yusuf, that's Surah number 12, Ayah 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, says, He said, إِنَّمَا أَشْقُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain of my anguish and my sorrow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr produces many results. It produces a disciplined soul. To bear with hardships and difficulties becomes an easy thing for one who has sabr. Sabr in regard to sin is the source of the self's taqwa. Sabr in regard to obedience is the source of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the there is a higher state after that, which is known as riva, or acceptance. See, sabr is restraining the nafs and preventing it from giving in to any resentment in spite of the suffering that it may experience, in the hope that the affliction will come to an end, as well as restraining oneself from behaving badly out of impatience. Riva, on the other hand, is feeling at ease in accepting the decree, the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without question, though it may be bitter, and being unconcerned with the time when any suffering may stop, even though it's being experienced now. One with riva accepts whatever they receive from Allah as if it is a gift from a friend. See, if you have a friend and they give you the gift of a palatable food, you'll accept it and appreciate it. If the same friend gave you a gift of a bitter medicine, and you trusted the fact that they knew of its benefits, you will accept it in the same manner and appreciate it. Think about this, because this is one of the most excellent qualities that we can apply to ourselves. There was once a child who lived in the desert, and the child said to his mother, "On dark nights, horrible monster appears to me, and I'm so afraid." "Don't be afraid," says his mother. "Next time you see that monster, attack it bravely. It'll become clear that it's nothing but an illusion." "But mom," he said, "what if the monster's mom has given him similar advice? What shall I do if she had counseled him, saying, 'Don't say a word so that you won't be exposed'? How shall I recognize him then?" "Keep silent," his mom said. "Wait with sabr. It may be that some word may come from his mouth, or if it doesn't come, it may be that from your tongue some word may come involuntarily, and in your thoughts some words or some ideas may spring up, so that out of that idea or those words you will know him for what he is, for then you will have been affected by him. That's the reflection of him and his feelings that have come inside you." "Think about the words," his mom said. "It's about thinking, about having patience." There was a healer one day who was speaking about sabr when a scorpion stung him several times. Finally he was asked, "Why don't you drive it away?" He said, "I was too ashamed to do anything because I was speaking of sabr myself." These are anecdotes that really have to be pondered over. If you feel that you're in difficulty or pain, or you're unjustly accused or tyrannized, recite Ya Sabur 298 times, and inshallah they will bring relief and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart. Inshallah tomorrow we will conclude the Asma'ul Husna with a conclusion where I shall try and include all the names and how we apply them psychoethically.